The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 169 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we now focus on one or more of four groups of people. Either you, them, us, and or me. We've expanded. Today's episode, we'll be focusing on only two of them, though, specifically you and me. And this one's going to be a wordy episode, literally. The You segment, as you know, is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. And today for the You part, finally, we have some listener-submitted poetry of all things, which was held over from episode 167. Took us a while to get back to it. Plus, to quote Inigo Montoya, we have something about words that don't mean what you think they mean. After that comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Typically, I focus on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, and today I will be ranting about not being able to use some of my favorite political words and phrases. I told you this was going to be a wordy episode. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag and participate in discussions with our guests, which we don't have today. Anyway, it's a role that we call cohort, and today's cohort is making his third appearance here on the Pennsylvania Project. He is Mark Cherisi, president of the Toastmasters in Unity Club in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Mark.
Thank you, Ken. It's great to be back. It's been a while, but I'm happy to be back with you.
I took a look. Episode 104. So what's that? 65 episodes over a year.
And things have changed because since that time, I went from president of the club, and then I became the vice president of education, and it looks like I'm going to retain that role for the next Toastmasters year.
I was going to ask that. So next time I'll be able to introduce you as past president or something like
that. Yes, immediate past president or whatever.
I'm still president of the PICO club, Philadelphia Electric Club, for another 8 days, something like that. And we are presidents distinguished again.
That's great.
For the nth year in a row. We were founded in 2005, and every year we've been presidents distinguished. Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know any other club who's done that.
I don't think we've done it consistently. I think we've hit it a couple of times. I know we have a couple more hurdles over the next week or so, and I think we may hit presidents. We'll definitely hit select, but we may hit presidents.
Well, you only got another week or so.
I know. We have one more meeting, and I think we can squeeze it in.
All right. Well, this is going to be a wordy episode, so we should get into it.
Okay.
What do we got in our mailbag?
Well, let's see. We actually have something from Marlene from Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. And I have to be honest with you, as I read this, I'm trying to decipher it, but I'm going to read it exactly as the question came in.
Okay.
I was asked to recite poems out of my poetry book. It is never too late to ask. If possible, now if ever, it is the time. I hope you'll find an interest. I'd like to read over the radio.
Marlene, the short answer is no. I took a look, and I found your book of poems on Google by searching on your name plus the book's name, which is Marlene Poetry Plus being the name. And my first reaction is that it's not exactly what I would consider poetry. Maybe you call me a traditionalist, but I was expecting rhyme, meter, allusion, alliteration, allegory, and other A words, but it seemed more to be stream of consciousness prose than poetry. And just a heads up, I don't know who did your editing, but it's filled with misspellings, but I guess that's not an issue when you're going to read it on the radio. You skip over the misspellings. But despite all that, I don't think we're going to do it. And my main reason for not passing it over is it's not really Pennsylvania related, and most of your poems are national things. Are you a poetry fan, Mark?
Not tremendously, no. I like some that that stick out. I can't quote any by name, but there have been some great ones over the years, but I can't say that it's one of my consistent readings.
And, you know, I took a look. And I couldn't get a lot because Google only gave so much of a preview. But the first one was a poem called What Has Become of the Beloved USA? Which, like I said, it's not Pennsylvania related. And she says, I'm just reading just a short excerpt here. The beloved USA used to be respected all over the world, except a minority few. But admiration was given to the red, white, and blue. Hey, that did rhyme. Now all we see is contempt, hatred, corruption, destruction. Minority few seem to think they're winning a war, a purpose to destroy more of mankind and their good graces. I don't know. Didn't do anything for me. Does that sound like poetry?
Not really. Like you say, other than that one rhyme in there, I'm not really finding it as poetry,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, no, me neither. You know, and if we're using Marlene as a guide for what poetry is these days, poetry probably no longer means poetry. And, you know, that got me wondering about other words that don't mean what they mean. I did some research because I had heard about this, and I knew it was there, and I just had to go find it. Turns out there are a lot of words that don't mean what they mean, which is interesting. There's a special term for words like that. They're called auto-antonyms because they contradict themselves by containing their own antonym in the meaning. And the first example I have here is apparent. Now, apparent can be obvious, mean obvious. I said the similarity between them is apparent. It's obvious. You can see it. Or it can mean not apparent, as you can say, well, there's an apparent lack of progress. Well, you're not sure if there's a lack of progress or not. So it means yes, it is, no, it isn't. And I got a whole list of them, and I thought it'd be fun to go through a whole bunch of them. And I thought maybe we could just go back and forth on these.
Sure.
We could take one. I don't know if you want to do the next one. I could do it. You could do it. Doesn't matter.
Well, let's see. Why don't you take the first one, then I'll take the one after that.
Awful. Awful means worthy of awe, like full of awe, where it could also mean awful, very bad. So it could be something very, very good or something very, very bad. So it's an auto-antonym.
And it's, I guess, in the ear of the beholder. You hear it one way, I hear it a different way.
As my French teacher, Dr. Ferrer, used to say, with language, it's not what you see that you get, it's what you hear that's what you get.
That sounds correct.
I wonder where he's at these days. He was a good guy.
Okay, I'll take the next one. Besides means other than, except for, instead of, but can also mean in addition, or in addition to.
Oh. So you can say, besides going to getting a beer, that's one. Or, hey, while you're going, get me the Coke, and besides, get me a beer.
That's right.
So it could be both. Here's another one, buckle. That can mean fasten securely, like buckle your belt. Or it can mean collapse it by bending, like buckling under pressure. So it's either together or apart.
Excellent.
These are cool.
Yeah. Next one is check. Check can mean an amount of money given to an individual, for example, a paycheck, or an amount of money an individual owes to another party, for example, at a restaurant.
So next time you go to a restaurant and you say, hey, give me the check, and they don't bring you, you know, a paycheck or something like that, you can complain. Or the next time your boss goes to give you a check, he's going to give you something. You know, you had eggs, you had scrapple. And,
you're right.
I don't know. Here's a good one, citation. I actually used this on a ranger once. A citation could be a commendation or a summons to appear in court. The ranger said something about it. He was giving out citations for partying at the campground. I said, well, it must have been a great party. He just looked at me.
That's funny.
Yep.
And I guess you could take that either way, too. If it was a citation for a party, maybe it was a commendation for such a great party that you mentioned, right?
It could have gone either way.
Right. The next one is clip. Clip can mean to separate or to attach.
Like clipping a coupon, it separates it. But you take that coupon and you clip it to your grocery list.
Correct.
So you clip the clip. That's cool. Yeah. Here's another, to cleave, which means to cling, cleave to something, or to split, like cleave it in half, right, like a cloven hoof or something like that.
Mm-hmm. How about custom?
Yeah, right.
Custom can mean standard, shorthand for customary, or tailored.
Yeah, like a custom suit or something like that. Words that mean they're opposite. Down, here's one. That's good. Yeah, going down with something good. It could be miserable. It could be something like, oh, I'm feeling down. I'm down with that. I don't care.
And to dust can mean to remove dust, like you're cleaning a house, or to add dust. You dust a cake with powdered sugar.
Uh-huh.
I prefer the second.
I am actually allergic to dust.
Ah.
It got me a college scholarship, too, because they called me vocationally handicapped because I was allergic to dust. And they said, we're going to rehabilitate you. Pick a college. So I went to St. Joe's up here in City Line.
Wow.
Yep.
That's great.
The more I could say about that, but there's still a lot of secrets that are not going to come out.
I'm sure.
Here's another one. Enjoin. It can mean command. I enjoin you to do something. Or it could be forbid. I enjoin you to do that. It go either way. And that's another one you got to get from context.
Right.
It's like the citation from the ranger.
And it seems like in both cases, when you give the same delivery, you could still mean either one. It really, as you say, depends on the context.
Yep. Yep. Good luck.
Fast can mean moving quickly, as in running fast, or it can mean not moving, as in stuck fast.
Huh. Or it could also mean not eating when you're fasting.
That's true.
I don't know. English, what a language. Here you go. To fight with someone, you can either fight against them or fight alongside them.
Absolutely true.
I'm not going to fight that one.
Fit. Fit can mean unhealthy, as in the man runs every day, he is fit. Or it could mean unhealthy. The boy gets frequent fits.
Huh. Well, if the shoe fits.
There you go.
Sorry about that. For, this is another little word. You got to be careful of little words. As a preposition, it could be in favor of, like I'm for peace or I'm for poetry, or it's against it. Oh, you take an aspirin for your headache. It goes either way.
Right. To go off can mean begin to make a sound, like the alarm went off, or to stop operating. The alarm will go off after 1 minute.
So if the alarm went off, you're not sure if it's on or off.
Right.
And I think we have on further down here. I don't know. No, we got off further down. There's another one. Anyway, impregnable. I like this one. That can mean either able to be impregnated or incapable of being entered. Anyway, I know some women like that. Both answers.
Intermarriage can mean marriage within a specific group or marriage between members of different groups.
Can you intermarriage between specific group, different specific groups? I don't know. I'm getting silly here. Here we go. You know, when I told my wife I was going to do this, the example I gave her was left, because left means I've departed. I left the place. Or it means I remain. Like, hey, I'm the only one left.
Right.
So am I left or left? I don't know. I left.
And near miss can be used to mean to barely miss, but literally means to hit.
That's right. A miss is a hit. depends how pretty she is. No, I shouldn't say that. Here we go. Off. It can mean deactivated, as in turn it off, or it can mean activated, as in, same example, the alarm went off. So it's either off or off.
Right. And then you could look at the word out. Out can mean available, as in the latest model is out, or unavailable, as in, sorry, we're out.
Uh-huh.
These days there seems to be a lot of that on the shelves.
That's true.
Sorry. Oh.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at the list there. We still got a whole bunch more. I'm just going to do one more, and that's pitted, because that means it has pits, or the pits have been removed. And I'll tell you, it's always the pits when we keep running out of time. So enough of these auto antonyms here. And on that contradictory note, that's going to do it for the U portion of episode 169 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, I'll be ranting about not being able to use some of my favorite words and phrases that I don't get to use much anymore anyway, now that I'm not running for public office.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions, so we've authored a petition demanding that Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
True. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster of the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters, and now I have my own radio show. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figuring out the tax laws and filling out all those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes, all the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can even pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, S-I-X-T-E-E-N.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 169 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Today, I'll be ranting about some of my favorite political phrases and words that I don't get to use anymore now that I'm not really running for public office. Well, you know, that's not entirely correct, because here on the show, I do get a chance to use some of them, but the opportunities are few. So I figured I'd group them all up today and dump them out all at once in one big rant. Now, this is similar to what I did in episode 149, where I ranted about how some of our libertarian political victories have robbed me of some of my best material. Except today, it's not the stuff that's robbed, it's just underused. Ready? Here we go. Let's start with the ones that need no backstory, such as this Shakespearean one that I use in debates. Quote, "I come not to seize power, but to bury it." That's a good one for a libertarian. Here's one that makes liberals squirm. Quote, "Educating our children is far too important to be left in the hands of government." Squirming yet? And speaking of education, I never use the term public schools. They're always government schools. That's because, as we've heard, the two old parties control the schools lock, stock, and barrel. They can say who can teach, who can't teach, what gets taught, how many days it gets taught. And with all that power, our government schools don't teach kids our Pennsylvania Constitution, as we heard, but I digress. Anyway, calling them government schools is a lot nicer than what one of our cohorts here on the Pennsylvania Project calls them. According to our cohort, Art Farnsworth, public schools are, quote, "Ritalin-drenched, mind-numbing government youth propaganda camps." Oh, come on, Art. Tell us what you really think, right? Well, you know, when talking about government actions or institutions, I typically identify them as specifically as being government-related, such as government schools, the policies of an unelected board of education, that sort of thing. But if I'm referring to specific failed initiatives of the Democrat or Republican parties, I never use the party names. Instead, I just lumped them together as the two old parties, because that's what they are. The implication being that they're out of step with the times, which they are. And fair's fair, calling them for what they are, because you should hear the names they call us. And worse yet, they've enshrined some of those political slurs in the text of Pennsylvania's election law. What slur does the law call us libertarians, I hear you ask? They call us, quote unquote, a minor political party. How rude. So calling them two old parties isn't nearly so rude. You know, maybe I should come up with something a little more insulting. Maybe I should start calling them boomer parties. Well, slurry laws aside, excuse me, there are some non-law slurs they also use for us. And the biggest is that they call us third parties. Now, that's pretty insulting if you ask me, because it puts us libertarians way down in the third place, even though most Americans believe in the libertarian philosophy. And I do have to admit, though, third place is accurate, because we libertarians do outnumber all the other so-called third parties put together. And in light of that fact, I like to call us libertarians the 800-pound chihuahua of politics. Putting on the dog, eh? No. Seriously, the name we prefer, and not just us libertarians, but also other so-called third parties. The name we prefer is Challenger Parties, because it's a lot more descriptive of our role, right? Plus, it doesn't artificially inflate the relative position of the fourth, fifth, and sixth largest parties, who, by the way, are the Green, Constitution, and I don't know who number six is. It gets pretty blurry after the Constitution Party, Pennsylvania. Anyway, I have a few favorite sayings when it comes to the insane war on drugs, which is one of my big issues, such as always including the word insane before saying war on drugs. And sometimes I'll even append one word and say the insane war on drug users, because that's what it is. You're not fighting the drugs. You're fighting the people. And whenever I hear the government putting another addict in jail, my first question is, why are we persecuting sick people? Thanks for that, Josh Shapiro. I can't wait till your term is over. And whenever I talk about the war on drugs when I'm on the campaign trail, I readily admit that I used to smoke pot back in college. And I inhaled. And I held it. Hey, why waste good pot, right? And whenever I'm addressing a school audience and tell them that story, I warn them of the grave dangers of smoking pot, using me as the example. I tell them, beware, because it's obvious. Smoking pot leads to politics. Gateway drug. Oh, man. Another playful term I like to play fully with is reform. Whenever somebody asks me if I'm in favor of reforming anything, whether it's campaign finance, gun laws, property taxes, or whatever, I always give them the shortest possible answer. I'm in favor of reform. And then I shut up. In most cases, it slowly brings a smile to the people's faces when they realize the humor in a politician's meaningless assertion. And of course, I let it only hang for a couple of seconds before I go into details of exactly what reform would look like. But a little bit, I have my fun. And should someone accuse me of being a politician, I interrupt them and emphatically disagree. I tell them, I'm not a politician. I haven't broken my first promise yet. And once I do, you can call me a politician. I promise. Man. And there's some sound bites I don't get to use that often, but you may have heard me use them here on the show, such as the one supporting gay rights. I always say, what's good for the goose and the gander is good for the goose and the goose and the gander and the gander. And one that I never said on the campaign trail because it was just a little bit too racy, it's about transgender gun rights. Quote, it's none of your business what's in my pocket, how long it is, or how long it's been there. You see what I mean? You gotta be careful about these things. Another one I like is the political golden rule, which means whoever provides the gold makes the rules. So the last thing you ever want to do is to accept money from the government because it tends to come with golden handcuffs. That is exactly what happened with the drunk driving laws. They said, Pennsylvania, lower your blood alcohol content limit to 0.08 or else we're going to stop giving you transportation money.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a drug dealer in the corner. They'll give you free samples. To quote Tom Lehrer, because he knows full well that today's young innocent faces will be tomorrow's clientele. Oh, hey, that was poetry. Anyway, regardless of the issue, regardless of the audience, whether it's students or people or radio or debates, I always leave everybody with one final thought. And let me leave you with that same one thought now. Quote, if you keep on voting the way you've been voting, you're going to keep on getting just what you've been getting. And I don't know about you, but I have had enough. I tell you, politics as it is, it's enough to make you vote libertarian, ain't it? On that wordy note, that's going to have to wrap it up for episode 169 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about Marlene's non-poetry, or words that contradict themselves, or teaching the Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids, or anything somewhat Pennsylvania-related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there, too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. See, now that's alliterative. That's poetry, right? I don't know.
Great talent.
Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m., among other times. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster is Stephen Worley. Our featured Toastmaster cohort is Mark Cherisi. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct.
Good enough.
Good job.
Official bartender, Tom Kehoe. Keyboard wizard singing in the background there, Joe the Pag. Our radio producer, Wes Wagner. And me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, hopefully not using words with contradictory meanings, unless you're one of those politicians.